Hello, and welcome to the Adventure Options Podcast. You want adventures, and you have options. This episode is slightly different in that I interview a blogger. His name is Corey, and he runs the blog Curb Free with Corey Lee. Stick around to hear his fascinating stories about travel as a wheelchair user. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Adventure Writers, copywriting for the travel industry. There are 4.6 billion web pages out there. Make sure yours stands out. Go to adventurewriters.agency for help. That's adventure, WRITERS.agency. Now for the show. Corey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have you here. I have not had a blogger on my podcast yet, so you're kind of like the pioneer for that.
Oh, wow. Now I'm even more nervous.
Right? Did that put even more pressure on you?
No, I think I can handle it. So, yeah, thank you for making me the first blogger. It's really an honor.
I was reading through your blog, and it's just fascinating. And maybe we should start out by having you explain to our audience who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, so I run CurbFreeWithCoreyLee.com, which is a travel blog that focuses on traveling as a wheelchair user. So when I was 2 years old, I was actually diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy type 2, and that's a form of muscular dystrophy. So a lot of people know of like the Shamrock fundraisers that happen every year on like St. Patrick's Day through muscular dystrophy. So I was an MD kid, and I always did the telethons and everything like that. And then my mom, she actually worked in a school when I was younger, so she would have off for a few months every summer and be out of work. And so we would really use that time to kind of explore within the United States. And then we started taking things internationally, and traveling as a wheelchair user, it definitely came with a lot of obstacles. And it's always pretty interesting, you know, to travel around the world in a wheelchair. But I've definitely learned a lot along the way. And I mean, it's just such an amazing career. And I'm really excited that people have responded to my blog the way that they have.
I loved that when I read it, I didn't feel like the primary goal of your blog was to talk about spinal muscular atrophy, even though obviously it is what has affected your life. Your blog is very open to any form of disability, specifically forms that restrict you to a wheelchair. But I love that you open it up to everybody. But for those of our audience who don't really know what spinal muscular atrophy does, why don't you go ahead and give us just a really quick review or preview, whatever you want to call it, of what exactly that does to your body.
Yeah, so spinal muscular atrophy is actually a genetic disease that I was born with. So my great, great, great aunts and uncles, there were actually 13 children in the family and 13 siblings. And out of those 13, 4 of them actually had spinal muscular atrophy as well. And they were in a wheelchair. And they, just a fun fact, they were actually, the 4 of them that were in a wheelchair, they formed a musical group, and they were known as the Wheelchair Singers, and like released albums. And they were actually quite famous in the Southern United States, and where they were pretty much like gospel singers. So they toured around the country performing gospel music. And so I think that's kind of where I got a lot of my ambition. But so SMA, it is genetic, and so it kind of skips a few generations, and then I was the lucky recipient to get it. So I got SMA, and basically what it does is there are 3 different types of SMA. So SMA type 1, if you get it, that's kind of like the worst type of SMA that you can possibly have. And people with SMA type 1, they usually die when they're younger. So less than 10 years old, I would say. But SMA type 3 is kind of the best type of SMA. And so people with SMA type 3, they can usually walk a little bit and may not rely on a wheelchair all the time. And then SMA type 2, which is what I have, I do need to use a wheelchair, but I do have a little more strength and ability than, you know, a type 1 would have.
That is fascinating. I didn't know any of that, actually. And now I'm going to go Google your ancestors so I can listen to their album.
Yeah. Their album is actually on Amazon. So I ordered it about 6 months ago. I finally found it on Amazon. And it's like not the best quality because it was like a really, really long time ago. But it's just fascinating to like listen to them and like see them on the album cover and like know that they're, you know, my great, great, great aunts and uncles. So it's really remarkable. Yeah.
That's a really, really great heritage to come from, actually. So let's jump ahead to what inspired you to start your blog. Like, what was the first trip, or what was it that made you think, "Hey, I'm going to do this blog"?
Yeah. So back in 2013, I was actually preparing for an upcoming trip to Australia, and I started getting online and kind of noticing that there really wasn't a lot of information online about wheelchair accessibility within Australia. And it was really just kind of frustrating to me to not be able to easily find out, you know, if Sydney Harbour Bridge was accessible, or if the Sydney Opera House had accessible seats in the theater, you know, what exactly was accessible. And so that just kind of sparked an idea in my mind that maybe I should start a resource and a blog to hopefully show other wheelchair users around the world exactly what is accessible and show them ultimately that they do have the ability to travel.
And this was in 2013, you said?
Yeah, I started the blog in December of 2013. So it's almost at the 5-year mark. So I'm really excited for that.
How old were you?
How old was I? I think I was like 23.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 23, yeah.
And the trip to Australia was just on a whim, or what was, you just wanted to go to Australia?
My mom was actually taking me for my college graduation present. So that was her gift to me because I had always really, really wanted to go to Australia, and then we finally made it happen.
Okay, I'm going to call unfair because my college graduation gift was a couch. I want to go to Australia.
Well, maybe you could go back and get your master's or doctorate degree if you don't have those already.
You know what? For a trip to Australia, I would maybe do that.
It's worth it. Trust me.
So as the blog evolved, you mentioned on your blog that people wanted to get involved with you. Why don't you go ahead and tell us some of the organizations that wanted to get involved with you and what you've done with them?
Yeah, so over the past 5 years, I've really worked with a lot of different businesses and destinations and organizations. So really, the people that I usually work with are different destinations. So say that, you know, maybe I'm trying to think of somewhere that I like recently went. So I actually went to Barcelona, Spain this past July, and they actually reached out to me and they were wanting to promote what was accessible in Barcelona, that they have like accessible beaches and accessible transportation and all of this really amazing stuff in Barcelona. So they reached out to me, and then we formed a campaign. So I actually flew to Barcelona and, you know, evaluated the city for a week, and all around Catalonia, I got to see like volcanoes and do all of this really remarkable stuff. And then I wrote about how accessible it was, or in some cases how accessible it wasn't. Because one thing I always really try to do is tell the truth to my readers and never like say something is accessible if it isn't fully accessible. So that's something I definitely do. But I mean, I work with a lot of different destinations. And then also another thing, I mean, I definitely as a travel blogger and a freelance writer, I work with different publications like Lonely Planet. I've worked with National Geographic, Travel Channel, The Los Angeles Times, a bunch of different publications, just writing for them and really trying to, you know, put accessible travel in a broader spotlight, because it's not, you know, I don't want it to only be narrowed down to my website. I really would love accessibility to be shown on these really huge platforms. And that's why I really love doing interviews with people like yourself on podcasts and different mediums, I think it just goes to show, you know, that there is an audience out there for accessibility, and people are hopefully watching and reading and listening.
I bet it's eye-opening for these locations as well, who maybe think that they're completely accessible, to have you come and actually go on the tours or do the activities and test the accessibility. I bet that information is valuable, whether or not it comes back that they, you know, pass with an A+ or that they have some things to work on. It would be hard as a non-wheelchair user to decide if something was accessible.
Yeah, I mean, usually whenever I go on like a press trip to a destination, I mean, 90% of the time, I'm the first wheelchair travel blogger that has ever gone there and like that they've hosted and worked with.
You're
and
the
so it really
pig.
Is kind of, yeah, I really am. But I love it. I mean, it gives them a chance to really learn, you know, as you said, what they're doing well and what they kind of need to work on and get better at. So it's really, I mean, something that I enjoy, definitely telling them, you know, how they can improve their destination for everyone.
That's perfect. So I want to congratulate you, because now that you've been, you know, working with National Geographic and Lonely Planet and all these huge places, you've finally hit the big time on the Adventure Options podcast. I think
right.
it's remarkable you've made it all the way to my tiny little podcast.
Yeah. No, it's truly, I mean, really, I love, I'm always up for any kind of interview. So I love podcasts and I listen to yours, and it's such a great one. So I really thank you for having me.
Well, and you know what I love about what you just said a little bit ago, not the part about how great my podcast is, because I do love that. But I was gonna say, when you're talking about accessibility, I don't think it's something that crosses everybody's mind. I look at an awful lot of adventure travel websites, both for my day job and for the podcast. I'm constantly looking at websites and seeing what people are up to and what kind of adventures and tours they have. And I don't think I have ever come across, and I'm going to knock on wood because I'm sure I'm going to have someone email me and say, yes, you did, but I can't remember coming across a section that talks about accessibility or even a tour description that talks about accessibility in it. And so I think that's definitely a part of our industry, of the adventure travel industry, that is missing, that could definitely step it up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's really a big problem that I see also, is like whenever I'm, you know, looking up information, if I'm like traveling to a destination, the information is usually not on the website for whatever reason. I don't know why they can't just put like one little tiny line on there and say if it's accessible or not. But I mean, I really, over the past 5 years, though, since I started the blog, I definitely have seen some improvement. So I feel like more and more destinations and companies are constantly trying to get better at showcasing accessibility, but there's still definitely a really, really long way to go. But hopefully, you know, I can do my part to make it happen.
Well, I definitely think you're doing your part. So let's get to some of the juicy stuff, Corey. Since you are the guinea pig for a lot of these destinations, I know you talk on your website just in a little bit of detail about some of the funny things that happen as you're trying to travel the world in your wheelchair. Do you want to go ahead and share some of those stories with us?
Yeah, so there are really probably too many insane experiences to talk about, or we would be talking for hours and hours. But I mean, I'll just tell you like one or two of the craziest and the tops. But a couple years ago, this probably tops the list for me as far as crazy experiences. So a couple years ago, I went to South Africa, and maybe you saw it on my blog, but I actually got to meet a hippo named Jessica. And so this is like not your ordinary hippo. She actually was abandoned by her hippo family, and some humans found her, and they built her a bed inside their house and in their doorway. It's really bizarre, like, that she lives in the house, but it's a cool story. And if you're ever in South Africa, you can actually meet her and meet Jessica. And so when I was there, I went to meet her, and they like handed me a potato to give to her. But when I couldn't really like reach down far enough to put it in her mouth. So it was kind of taking me a few minutes to reach over and give it to her. And so Jessica got really, really agitated at this. And she actually lunged up out of the water and grabbed the entire side of my wheelchair with her massive teeth and then started pulling me into the water. And so more people actually die every year from hippos in Africa than from any other animal. So, I mean, I always thought like, you know, oh, they're so cute and cuddly, but they are ferocious. And so she started pulling me in the water. And luckily, like 2 seconds before I became Jessica's lunch for the day, her human dad stepped over and like screamed at her and told her to stop. And she's a good daughter, and she listened to her human dad and luckily stopped. So that was probably the wildest experience of my life.
That would terrify me. And it wasn't even like you were out in the jungle somewhere. You were in somebody's house and their hippo attacked you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was insane. And like, I really don't even fully remember it because I kind of like blacked out because I was so like terrified when it happened. So I have pictures of it, and like some people on our tour group, they got some really, really great photos of Jessica actually pulling me into the water. So if you go on my blog and just search like Jessica the Hippo, you can see all the pictures and they're like unbelievable.
That is such a great story though, because you survived. So it's right. Something that is just so funny. And it's something that you don't think about, that it might take you a little bit longer to get the potato down to Jessica, whereas everyone else just reached down, I'm sure, and threw the potato into her. And so I'm sure she, even the hippo probably was confused, like, why is this guy taking so long to give me that potato?
Right, yeah, she did. She was not a fan. Yeah. After it happened, her dad, actually, or her human dad, he actually said, don't write about this. Because he knew I was a blogger. And I was like, whatever, like, this is going to be the best blog post of all time. And so I wrote about it anyway. I'm so glad that I got that story.
You also mentioned on your blog something about being trapped on a burning bus.
Yeah, so when I actually moved to D.C., Washington, D.C., after college, and went to the George Washington University. And so one day I was actually trying to go from Chinatown over to the zoo. And as soon as I got on the bus in Chinatown, the lift on the bus actually started smoking and it caught on fire. And so our bus driver got off the bus and like left me stranded on the bus. And eventually, like a few minutes later, some firefighters came and they had to physically like carry me off the bus and carry my heavy, like 300-pound wheelchair off the bus to safety. So, I mean, it seems like everywhere that I go, I get in some kind of insane situation like that. But eventually, it always kind of has a way of working itself out.
What I love about it is that it's like everyday mundane things that are going wrong versus, like, you travel the world. You've been to some places where things could go wrong for anybody, wheelchair or not. And the stories of when something does go wrong is things like riding on the bus in Chinatown or meeting the tame hippo in somebody's house kind of thing. That's where it's fun. I think one more that I want you to tell our guests about, you talk about your wheelchair charger and how it blew up when you were overseas. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Yeah. So actually, the first time that I ever went to Europe, I went to Germany, to Munich, and we actually arrived to our hotel in Munich, Germany, and we had like an adapter and a converter and all of the equipment. So I should have just been able to plug my wheelchair charger into the wall with the adapter and converter, and it should have worked. But when we plugged it in, it actually blew up, and sparks were actually flying out of the wall, out of the socket, and the power in the entire hotel went out for about 15 minutes. So it was pretty embarrassing, and I was really worried that like the hotel owners and the management was going to like get onto us for putting out the power for that long. But they actually never even found out that it was me. So I got pretty lucky in that regard.
Well, they're going to know now. You just outed yourself.
Yeah, but I'll just never go back to that hotel. I'll just have to like stay at a different hotel every time I'm in Munich, Germany from now on.
I really hope that someone somewhere is listening to this podcast going, that's what happened? Like, that they were in the shower or something in that hotel when the power went out and they thought, what is going on? And now they know.
Right.
It brings up a good point, though, about the things you have to prepare ahead of time to make these international trips accessible in ways that maybe people don't think of, like having the adapters for your equipment. What are some other tips and tricks that you share on your blog on things you can do ahead of time to prepare for these international trips to make it more accessible?
Yeah, so for me, really start planning any trip, especially if it's like international, at least 6 to 12 months in advance, just because it does take me a lot more time to kind of research the destination and find out, you know, where is an accessible hotel, or what attractions and restaurants are accessible, or how exactly am I going to get around once I'm there? Are there accessible taxis or buses or the metro or subway or whatever it may be? So there is, I mean, I would definitely recommend to anyone listening that does use a wheelchair to really research as far in advance as possible, because if you try to go on a trip spontaneously, something is sure to go wrong. And it's probably not going to be too much fun, you know, when you're stuck there trying to figure it out on the spot. But I mean, some other stuff that I do, I definitely have some like special equipment that I take. So like a wheelchair that I can actually use inside the shower. So it's just like a shower chair that has wheels on it. That weighs like 50 pounds. So that's always a lot of fun, you know, to lug around and haul around the big city when I'm trying to get to the hotel. And I mean, I definitely take a lot of equipment with me, but I've kind of learned over the years how to manage that and how to really pack, you know, the least amount as possible. There was a quote I heard a while back. It said, like, lay out all your clothes and all your money before any trip, and then take half the clothes and twice the money. And that is so true. Like, there has never been a truer quote. So I definitely try to live by that.
I have never heard that quote, but it is so true on any trip for anyone. And mostly because I do pack way too many clothes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to pack, I mean, like, multiple suitcases worth of clothes and different equipment and like books and just like unnecessary stuff that I was never even going to wear or use when I was there. But over the years, I mean, like, the more equipment that I've gotten over the years, I mean, I definitely try to pack lighter now.
So let's switch gears just a little bit. And why don't you tell me about the flying experience and airplanes and airlines? Like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, so flying is really the biggest obstacle, I think, for any wheelchair user that's wanting to travel. So to actually get on the plane is a whole ordeal in itself. So I can't drive my powered wheelchair on the plane. So I have to transfer from my wheelchair to like a narrow aisle chair, which is basically just a really narrow wheelchair that can go down the thin aisle of the plane. And so I have to get in that, and they have to like physically lift me up to get me in that. And so whenever they're like lifting me up, sometimes I'm dropped and like I've been, you know, tossed around and thrown into the seat and like bruised. And it's never like any fun, but I know that, like, you know, once I get to the destination, like, it'll definitely be worth it. So I always just try to like keep that in the back of my mind whenever I'm flying somewhere. And then also, like, I worry about whenever I'm on the plane about the wheelchair actually getting damaged, because the wheelchair does go into the cargo area with the rest of the luggage. And so the luggage is like banging against the wheelchair throughout the flight. And it's always like really worrisome whenever I arrive to the destination. Like, I'm worried about, is my wheelchair going to make it to me intact, or are we going to have to get it you know, repaired before we can start having any fun and seeing the attractions within whatever destination we're at. So, flying is really the thing that really needs the most work and needs to come the longest way when it comes to traveling as a wheelchair user. But there are companies out there now that are trying to make it a better experience. So one of them is called All Wheels Up, and they actually are trying to make it to where you can actually drive your wheelchair onto the plane and stay in your wheelchair throughout the flight. And so they're currently doing like crash tests and to see that if that would even be a possibility and if that's feasible. And so hopefully, you know, within the next like 10 to 15 years, it'll be a lot better. But for now, it's still the roughest part of traveling in general.
And it's something I don't think I've ever even thought about when I'm getting on an airplane of where would somebody in a wheelchair go here. I'm kind of shocked that they haven't, like you said, made it where maybe seats can be removed and that you can clip in your wheelchair somewhere there. But like you said, maybe they're working on that. And I definitely, I want to see them crash test it though. That sounds a little dangerous.
I definitely don't want to be involved in the crash testing. But,
you don't want to be the guinea pig for that?
Nah, I would rather not.
So this brings up a question of why go through the hassle then? I mean, it sounds like it is quite an ordeal to be able to travel. Why go through it?
I mean, for me, I mean, in the earlier days when I started traveling, it was really, I mean, I think for the reason that any of us travels. So, I mean, you or anyone listening, I mean, we all kind of travel just to see different cultures and kind of, I think, gain a new appreciation for different places and different people around the world. And so, I mean, there's really no better feeling than like when I'm in, let's say, the alleyways of Jerusalem and interacting with, you know, a Jewish man or a Muslim man, or I mean, just the local people and getting to eat the local foods and trying like hummus in Israel and all of that. It's just like such an incredible experience that I would hate to let something like a wheelchair that I really have, you know, no control over, and I was just born with it, to let that kind of stop me and like make me stay at home. So I don't want to give, you know, my disability that much power to leave me at home instead of really doing what I love. And then now that I've kind of started the blog and blogging full time, it's also, I mean, I really, whenever I'm traveling, I try to remind myself like, why I kind of started the blog in the first place. And that was to show other wheelchair users around the world, you know, what is possible and that they can travel. And so whenever, you know, a tricky situation comes up, I try to constantly think about that in the back of my mind and the reason exactly why I started in the first place.
That's so beautiful. Did you think you were going to become the voice of accessibility and travel? Like when you started?
Definitely not. Yeah, I mean, when I started, I really had no idea that, you know, my blog would be this successful and win. Like it actually won the Lowell Thomas Award for Best Travel Blog a couple years ago. And so that's like the Oscars of travel writing, they say. And so, I mean, when I won that, it was just like such a special moment because I think it's not just about me whenever I'm traveling. It's about the millions of other wheelchair users that are out there and wanting to travel. And I think that when I won Best Travel Blog, it really kind of showed the industry like people with disabilities are here and they want to travel and they mean business. And so I feel like that really opened up a lot of doors and gave me even more of an opportunity to kind of be the voice of accessible travel, as you said.
And it really, I see how it could help other people with you blazing the trail to show them, hey, you can do this. It's a little bit of work, but you can do this and come home with amazing stories. Just like in any trailblazer in history, you open a little pathway of hope and maybe lessen the anxiety of that path. And I just think that's beautiful. When you're talking about travel, And I loved your answer because it's true. All of us travel to gain experience and to kind of connect with the world in different ways. What place have you traveled to that you feel like has been the most transformative for you?
That's a tough question. I guess I would say Morocco. So I actually went to Morocco this past April, and it was actually also the first time that I ever led a group tour. So I did a curb-free group tour where some of my followers that actually had a wheelchair got to join me in Morocco. And for some of them, that was really the first time that they had ever even left the United States and traveled internationally. So that really meant a lot to me in the first place. And then I also got to ride a camel in the Sahara Desert of Morocco. And that is like such an experience that I've kind of always really dreamed of doing, but realistically, I never thought that that would be possible. Because like for me to even, you know, sit up a camel, it would be really difficult just because I had a tough time like sitting upright without some like stabilization and like assistance. But there was actually a company in Morocco that built an adaptive camel saddle. So it had like a headrest on it and a full back and like armrests, and it was like fully accessible and just like really incredible. And I think again, that goes to show that, you know, the world is becoming more accessible. And so when I was actually, like before I actually got on the camel, I was like a nervous wreck. And I was so scared. Like, what if the camel takes off into the sunset and like I'll never see it again? Or what if it like just falls over on its side and like crushes me? You know, like there were so many factors that I was like really nervous about. But when I was up on that camel, I remember like looking out and seeing all of the dunes in the desert and just like the camel in front of me. And that experience, it really taught me to kind of never let fear control me, and kind of just try to always push past the fear. That was just such a eye-opening moment for me.
I love how real and vulnerable you are, because you're in a position, a little bit of a position of power, at least within your community, and to be able to say, this was really terrifying and I didn't know if I was going to, you know, make it through. I just think that's really beautiful.
Wow, thank you so much.
This has just been wonderful, Corey. I just think you're an amazing person and you have such a fun personality. I totally want to go on a trip with you.
I'm actually leading a group tour to Iceland next July. So
let's do it. Do I have to have a wheelchair?
No, anybody can come.
Let's do it. I've never been to Iceland.
It's beautiful. I went back in 2015 and it was, it's one of my favorite places in the world and definitely in Europe. So if you haven't been, you definitely got to go.
Oh, I will. I will with you in July, apparently.
Okay, perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
I usually end these podcasts asking two questions. And one of them is, you know, where's your favorite place that you've traveled? And the other one is, what's a piece of advice that you could give to today's traveler? But I'm going to modify those a little bit for this interview. I want to ask you, where's the most accessible place you have gone where you feel like they really have a grasp around accessibility? And then I do want to hear your tip for today's traveler.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say that the most accessible place I've ever been, of course, there are places in the U.S. that are really, really accessible because we do have the Americans with Disabilities Act here in the U.S., and it was actually passed in the year 1990, which is the year that I was born. So I was really lucky to have been born in that year, and so accessibility has definitely came a long way within my lifetime. So places like Las Vegas are really great. Washington, D.C. is probably the most accessible place in the U.S., and then as far as internationally, I would say that Sydney, Australia is really, really way ahead of the game and maybe even better than anywhere in the U.S. So when I went to Sydney, every single attraction and restaurant and, there were so many accessible taxis and like ways to get around the ferries, and everything was like really accessible. So there was never something that I wanted to do that I was not able to do. And that was just such a kind of a freeing feeling to be able to do anything that I wanted for once. Because usually when I go somewhere, I'm stuck with a few options like, oh, well, I can do this, but I can't go to that museum, or I can do this, but not that. And so really Australia was just like such an incredible place and somewhere that I've actually, I mean, I would definitely consider even moving there because it's so accessible. So yeah, I would say Australia, definitely.
Awesome. And what's your travel tip for today's traveler?
So a travel tip. So I guess for any wheelchair users that may be listening, I mean, as someone that does have a disability, again, I would say to really plan your trip as far in advance as you can. And really, once you get to the destination, really try to, you know, just break out of your comfort zone. I mean, if there's something that maybe you've always wanted to do, then just, I mean, find a way to make it work. So one example for me was I really always wanted to go hot air ballooning. But I never thought that that would be accessible either. Then there are actually a few different companies that do have accessible hot air balloons. And while I've been at now in Las Vegas and over Israel, and I just did it over a volcano in Catalonia, Spain a couple months ago. So, I mean, almost anything that you want to do, it can be done if you have enough determination. So I would say to just always have a lot of determination and grit, and you can do anything you set your mind to.
That's beautiful, Corey. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and thank you for your time. And especially thank you for all you're doing for accessibility in the travel industry. Everybody go visit Curb Free with Corey Lee. I'll go ahead and put the link in the show notes so you can visit and definitely consult with Corey, especially all my adventure travel founders out there. Consult with Corey on how to make your adventures more accessible. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Shayna here. Don't you just want to travel with Corey? His limitless attitude is contagious. Remember to visit adventurewriters.agency to join my mailing list and get updates when a new podcast episode airs. Until next time, shalom.